Welcome to the Locked On Big Ten Podcast. My name is Adam Eaton. Thanks for listening on the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Big Ten Podcast is your home for information on all the happenings with your favorite Big Ten team. News, notes, stats, recaps, analysis, interviews. You will find them all here exclusively on the Locked On Podcast Network. On the Monday edition, we will go through players of the week in a big, big week of college football. Illinois, Wisconsin got a lot of news, probably the game of the weekend in all of college football. We've got an Illinois insider joining us later to break down what happened and how Illinois pulled off that victory. And before we do that, we're going to recap what happened in the busy weekend of college football. So let's get started right off the top. So big games this weekend. We'll go through each of them, give you some highlights and the fastest 5 minutes of Big Ten football analysis that you can ever take. Friday night, Ohio State, Northwestern. Ohio State wins 52-3. Justin Fields threw for 194 yards and 4 touchdowns. J.K. Dobbins, 18 carries, 121 yards and a touchdown. Chris Olave, Austin Mack, Dobbins, and Ruckert each had a touchdown catch for Ohio State. Chase Young, you might know him as an all-world defensive lineman. 2 tackles, 1 sack, also 2 interceptions from the Buckeyes defense as well. Northwestern just could not get anything going. Aiden Smith, 6 of 20 for 42 yards. Isaiah Browser, Blake Anderson only mustered 65 and 39 yards on the ground, respectively. On defense, Blake Gallagher for Northwestern had 11 tackles. But Friday night game, this one was over early, folks. Ohio State was in control and stayed in control throughout the game and moves them to 7-0. Northwestern now falls to 1-5 on the season. Next up, Indiana, Maryland. A sneaky good game from the weekend. Indiana prevails 34-28, moving them to 5-2. Maryland falls to 3-4. Indiana got a nice step up performance from Peyton Ramsey. You may remember that name. He was previously a starter, was benched in favor of Michael Penix Jr. Came off the bench to relieve Penix, who had an injury, threw for 193 yards and a touchdown. Stevie Scott, running back for Indiana, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Peyton Hendershot and Nick Westbrook combined for 12 catches and 1 touchdown. For Indiana, Tyrell Pigram, 17 of 27, 2 touchdowns. He got to start again this week in favor of Josh Jackson. Javon Leak, running back, 158 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, which was big because Anthony McFarland did not play. He had been the all-world workhorse for Maryland. Game was pretty close late, and Pigram threw a late INT, and Reese Taylor picked it off, and that sealed the deal. A nice sneaky win for Indiana on the road. This is one, I think I picked this one last week in Indiana's favor. So Indiana comes out on top, 34-28 at Maryland. Another sneaky great game from the weekend, Purdue and Iowa in Iowa. Iowa prevailed 26-20, improving their record to 5-2. Purdue drops to 2-5. This was a tight game late. Purdue had a chance for an onside kick late, and they were not able to recover it, and Iowa prevailed. Nate Stanley, Iowa's quarterback, threw the ball 33 times for 260 yards and a pick. On the ground, though, Mekhi Sargent had a touchdown. Tyler Goodson had a one-yard plunge. And Brandon Smith, 9 catches, 106 yards, but not all great news there. Brandon actually left the game with an injured leg, and so his status still unknown. And stay tuned for more information there. Purdue, on the other hand, I mean they hung tough. They battled back. They had a chance again with that onside kick late, just couldn't recover it. Jack Plummer threw the ball 50 times for 327 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an INT. However, Purdue was not able to muster much on the ground, only 33 yards rushing. But maybe they didn't need to because Plummer and then David Bell, the receiver, 13 catches, 197 yards and 1 touchdown. So Iowa prevailed, a nice home victory. I think Purdue stayed in it late, but again they've just got a bunch of injuries on that side of the ball, so they fall to 2-5. And again, that was probably not much of a surprise. Minnesota 42, Rutgers 7. Minnesota now improves themselves to 7-0. Rutgers drops themselves to 1-6. Offensively, Tanner Morgan was pretty solid, 15 to 28, 245 yards and 2 touchdowns. Rodney Smith on the ground for Minnesota, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tyler Smith had 130 yards receiving and a touchdown. Rashad Bateman also had a touchdown. And Antoine Winfield had 2 interceptions, including a pick 6 that came in the fourth quarter that really kind of put this game into ice. Rutgers didn't muster much on offense. Johnny Langan threw for only 48 yards and 3 touchdowns. Isaiah Pacheco had 50 yards receiving. And K'Ron Adams had a late touchdown to get Rutgers on the board. Probably the best moment from this game, though, if that it went viral. Redshirt sophomore Casey O'Brien, who's a quarterback at Minnesota, he is a four-time cancer survivor. He got on the field this week and held for an extra point. And afterwards, he had a really touching moment with Coach PJ Fleck. And his story was featured on College Game Day recently. And if you haven't seen it, you can probably Google it. But such a cool opportunity, and so happy for Casey, and something really cool for PJ Fleck to do for that kid. So, but overall, Minnesota 42, Rutgers 7. Under the lights, the whiteout. Penn State and Michigan. Penn State prevailed 28-21. Penn State now improves to 7-0. Michigan drops to 5-2. This was a pretty close game down the stretch. Really tough moment towards the end. Ronnie Bell, Michigan, had a chance to secure one in the end zone for a touchdown on fourth and goal, and had a drop, and he was pretty distraught after the game. Penn State played really well, though. Sean Clifford threw for 182 yards, three touchdowns. He also ran for another touchdown. And probably the most electric guy in the field, KJ Hamler, six catches, 108 yards, and two touchdowns. Micah Parsons on that Penn State defense was all over the field. He had 14 tackles. Shea Patterson, kind of much maligned, 24-41, threw for 200-plus yards, did have an INT. Also had a rushing touchdown as well and 34 yards on the ground. Zach Charbonneau, he had two rushing touchdowns on the evening. But Penn State kind of held on late and prevailed. Michigan battled back nicely, but in the end just didn't have enough to get the points on the board. And Penn State improved 7-0. Michigan now falls to 5-2. And then the game of the weekend, you'll hear more breakdown about this coming up here in a few minutes. But Illinois 24, Wisconsin 23. Didn't probably see this one coming. This was not a game I think many had circled. James McCourt hit a 39-yard game-winning field goal. That was set up by a Tony Adams interception of Jack Cohn. Cohn threw for 264 yards and a touchdown, but that late INT hurt. Jonathan Taylor of the Heisman candidate, 132 yards on the ground and a touchdown, but he also did have a fumble that contributed to three Wisconsin turnovers. And Illinois was able to do enough. Brandon Peters, their quarterback, it wasn't spectacular. 9 of 21, two touchdowns. Reggie Corbin on the ground, 83 yards and a touchdown. But they made the plays when they needed to make the plays. Jay Canton had 11 tackles as well. And students stormed the field afterwards. And Illinois prevails 24-23. Wisconsin now drops to 6-1. Illinois is now 3-4. And that was probably the biggest upset we had from the entire weekend. But what does this all mean in terms of the polls? So Sunday, the latest AP Top 25 was released. Six Big Ten teams featured on the poll. Let's run through where everyone's ranked now after the weekend of games. Ohio State jumps up from number 4 to number 3 after the win against Northwestern. Penn State, they're up from 7 to number 6. Wisconsin, as we talked about, tough loss this weekend. They drop from 6 all the way down to number 13. Minnesota, who's still undefeated, by the way, comes in at number 17. They were previously number 20, so they are starting to move up. We'll keep an eye on Minnesota. I'll be curious to see how they're ranked as the season progresses here. Michigan's down from 16, and now they're number 19 after that tough loss at Penn State. And then we have Iowa. Iowa was 23 last week, and they are now ranked number 20. So six teams overall ranked here in the Big Ten. Obviously, Wisconsin, probably the biggest name from this weekend and the biggest fall that we've seen. So let's keep our eyes on that and see how that impacts the rest of the season with the conference games coming up here this weekend. Wisconsin, Ohio State, obviously, will be on the slate. So stick close to us for that. We'll cover that throughout the week here. But coming up next, how did Illinois pull this off? Well, to answer that, Doug Bouchon from orangeandbluenews.com, part of the Rivals Network, will join me next to break down Illinois' exciting win versus Wisconsin. Stick around, only on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, coming up in a few, we'll go through game balls, players of the week. But from the game of the week is an interesting outcome. I don't know how many people had this one, if you were going to bet this one in Vegas prior to, but probably the game of the weekend, maybe the game of the weekend in college football. Wisconsin goes down 24-23 at Illinois. And to recap what happened and the highs and the lows, Let me welcome Doug Bouchon from orangeandbluenews.com, part of the Rivals Network. You can find Doug at Illinois Rivals on Twitter. Doug, thanks for joining the Locked On Big Ten Football Podcast.
Oh, glad to do it. Big win for Illinois, obviously.
Yeah, let me start with this question. I don't mean to be rude with this question, but how the heck did this happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's kind of weird, right? You had nothing, you know, 31-point favorites Wisconsin was in Vegas, and really did not expect this coming in at all. Illinois hasn't been able to stop the run, and obviously Wisconsin's a great running team, and they have the Heisman candidate, Jonathan Taylor. But, you know, they came in and they did a good job defensively stopping the run. They forced some big turnovers late in the game that got them the ball back. And of course, the field goal by James McCord as time expired to get the big upset win. And one of the biggest upsets I think that I've ever covered. I covered Illinois for 9 years, and this has got to be the biggest upset considering the point spread and the rankings.
What would you say are one or two things that Illinois did really well throughout this ballgame that contributed to this victory?
Yeah, I mean, they slowed down the running game. If you look at the numbers, that Jonathan Taylor still had 132 yards rushing, but, you know, he averaged way under his average. Wisconsin's a great running team, and Illinois held him, you know, to under 4 yards to carry, and that's a victory for him. And then they turned the ball over. You know, they got a big forced fumble that led to his points, and then an interception by Tony Adams, cornerback. It's a huge interception of a cone late in the game that gave him the ball, you know, in really good field position, and they drove down and kicked the winning field goal. So, you know, the typical of Lovie Smith defenses, they turn the ball over well. They usually don't stop guys, and this week they stopped the running game, or at least slowed it down, so they did a much better job defensively.
From the offensive side, so Brandon Peters probably didn't have an eye-popping statistical game, only 9 of 21, 174 yards passing, but it seemed like he did just enough. How would you assess how Brandon played against Wisconsin?
Yeah, you're right. At 9-21, and he made some clutch plays, some big plays. You know, a touchdown to Josh Umadebebe, the transfer from USC, a big touchdown. Another long touchdown pass, and then two huge third down conversions that led to scores to the tight end Daniel Barker. He converted. I think he only converted like 2 of 10 third downs on the whole game, but those two were both to Barker and both huge plays that kept drives going. So he did enough to win. You know, he didn't have to do it by himself. They had a few big plays in the running game, and the defense played well. But, I think just clutch plays and some big third down conversions is what we saw from Brandon Peters.
Did you think he had that in him? I mean, again, he hasn't really been tested at this level, I guess, this kind of opponent. Have you seen signs that he had this ability in him, or were you sort of surprised with how you saw him close the game?
You know, he can throw the ball. If the big thing with Peters is that if he has time to throw, when he sets up in the pocket and he can survey the field, he's got a good arm. He's fairly accurate. He can make some plays. I think when he's pressured, that's when he makes some negative plays. And we saw it, at some other games this year where he makes poor decisions. If you put some pressure on him, he's got to run around and make a play. But if he can set up in the pocket and have time, he can throw the ball. He's got a good arm. He was a big-time prospect coming out of high school, Avon High School in Indiana, the Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Indiana, and a five-star quarterback, and all the accolades. Didn't work out for him in Michigan, but he has some arm talent, so it's not totally surprising that he would make some big throws down the field.
What about that rushing attack? So Reggie Corbin, Dre Brown were kind of the bell cows, if you will. How would you assess how they played and how the running game overall was executed by Illinois?
Well, anytime you play Wisconsin, I mean, they got the number one rushing defense in the country. So you're not expecting that to explode for a lot of yards, you know, in the running game. But Reggie Corbin had a big run, a 43-yard touchdown run, gave Illinois 7 points, obviously. And overall, the running game wasn't great, you know. But I think on the last drive, the game-winning drive where they drove down and got the 39-yard field goal, Dre Brown had a huge play, running play where he just kept the legs going, got a lot of yards after contact and picked up a big first down for him and got him in good field goal range where they could kick the game winner with 4 seconds left. So kind of like Brandon Peters in the passing game, they weren't great all day. They were playing against a great defense in Wisconsin, but they just made some plays that they needed to make and some big plays.
Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. So let's talk about two guys in particular, Harding and Hansen. They seem to be like all over the field. I mean, these guys, I think they had 16 and 11 tackles respectively. What do these two guys bring to the defense, and how would you assess their performance on Saturday?
Well, DeLay Harding, that's the best I've seen him play. He's a really good tackler, real physical guy, not a real sideline-to-sideline type of the middle linebacker. But, you know, he had so many huge stops for him. Like you said, 16 tackles. And then his running partner, Jake Hansen, has been good all year. And he was actually the Walter Camp Defensive Player of the Week in all of college football this week, the National Defensive Player of the Week. And he's just got a knack for forcing fumbles. He's got 7 forced fumbles on the season. He's on a pace to break the school record. You know, he has in 7 games, 7 forced fumbles that won every game. It's pretty amazing what he does as far as batting the ball away. You know, he gets in there, he rips, he clubs, and he grabs at the football and turns it over. So, you know, I think a big factor for the linebackers this week was Illinois actually competed at the line of scrimmage. The D tackles had probably their best game of the season. Tamir Oliver and Jamal Milan, they got a good push up front. They competed with that huge Wisconsin offensive line and kind of freed things up where the linebackers could run around and fill their gaps and make plays. So, you know, the front 7 of the defense overall just had a great game, and really the best game that we've seen out of that front 7 during the Lovie Smith era.
And then probably the biggest defensive play, it's on all the highlights coming up this past weekend, but that Tony Adams interception, which you referenced earlier, what did you see at that play, and just how great of a play was that by Tony?
Well, it was a phenomenal play. He got a really good drop. You know, and I think Illinois, their zone defense coverage hasn't been good this year. They've been pretty bad, actually. But Tony, he's been playing free safety. Things didn't work out for him there, and they moved him to corner, and they needed some help. A corner, and they moved him to corner this week, and worked out for him, obviously. And, you know, he got a great drop, and I think Cohn underthrew the ball just a little bit, and Tony went up high and came down with the ball and just had the biggest play of his career and one of the biggest plays in college football of the week. And, you know, at that moment when you saw the interception, you were like, this might actually be happening. You know, we expected a blowout. We expected Wisconsin to roll, and that was kind of the moment in the game you were like, wow, they can actually pull this off and get a big homecoming upset.
Afterwards, Lovie Smith said that this could be a program-defining win, at least for his era. I guess two-parter. A, do you agree with that? And then B, how big a win do you think this was for the Lovie Smith era?
Well, we have a story on the front page now from our columnist, John Cipini, that they flipped the script on the season. It was rolling downhill. They were not looking good. You know, they did come back against Michigan the previous week and make it a 3-point game before Michigan pulled away. But things weren't looking good. You know, a lot of people were thinking that Lovie Smith might not make it through the season or get fired at the end of the season. And this kind of flips that script a little bit. And you look ahead to the schedule. They got Purdue and Iowa, Northwestern, Rutgers, definitely a winnable game. You know, it's not as daunting when you look at the remaining schedule the rest of the season. Now, I don't agree with Lovie that this completely changes things for his program. They have to start stacking wins together. They still have a losing record on the season. They still didn't play well in losses to Eastern Michigan and at Minnesota. So, you know, they got to follow it up. They got to follow it up next week going to Purdue. Purdue's banged up, of course. They don't have the quarterback. They don't have Rondell Moore. So they got to have a good performance there and back it up. But it certainly gives the players a lot of confidence going into that game next week. And if they can put 2 wins together, then we can probably look at it and say maybe they've turned a corner.
I mean, the old adage is a win usually cures all that ails you. So what would you like to see Illinois kind of clean up or work on as they get prepared to head to Purdue this weekend?
Got to get back to running the ball effectively. You know, I think that the last few weeks, offensive line hasn't been great at opening up the holes for Reggie Corbin. And I think Reggie's been a little banged up. He had a hip pointer, missed the parts of two or three games. But he looked like he had his full burst back this week. But they got to get back to running the ball effectively. They were one of the best running teams in the country last year. Hasn't been that way this year. The offensive line has a new coach. They had to replace Nicky Allegretti, who plays for the Chiefs now at right guard. That's a big factor. But they got to get back to being an effective running the ball and put Brandon Peters in some makeable third down situations where he doesn't have third and long. He's got to do a seven-step drop, and you know, he's under pressure, and he makes bad decisions when he's under pressure. So, you know, the running game and makeable third downs, and I think is big for him.
All right, I'll get you out of here on this question. So a lot's being made on social media of the quote-unquote troll job that was done after the game. So the students and the fans rush the field, and Jump Around was played, which is obviously a song that is played heavily at Camp Randall in Wisconsin. A, what did you make of that quote-unquote troll job? And B, you know, has there been any fallout or anything you've heard from anybody in Illinois about that?
No, it's pretty clever. You know, I think people got a kick out of it. It's pretty funny. And you know, I don't think the Wisconsin fans took it too badly. I mean, this is not exactly a rivalry where Illinois has competed with Wisconsin. They've hardly beat them over the last decade. You know, very, very few wins over Wisconsin. So, you know, I don't think there was a lot of ill will about it. But, you know, I thought it was pretty funny and pretty cool and clever of the, you know, of the guy running the music on the loudspeaker. So, no, I haven't seen a whole lot of backlash on Twitter about it.
Well, hope not. I thought it was a pretty cool moment, you know, for the fans and the kids on the field there. So
yeah, for people out there, if they don't watch Wisconsin football, they play Jump Around. I think it's after the third quarter.
Yep.
And you got 100,000 fans jumping up and down, and then Camp Randall is shaking, and it's really one of the coolest things in the Big Ten when you go see them play at Camp Randall.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, I guess, right? So
there you go.
So again, this is Doug Bouchon. He's at Illinois Rivals on Twitter. You'll also find him at orangeandbluenews.com. Doug, thanks a lot for joining us to recap the big win this weekend, and best of luck to the Illini moving forward.
All righty. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that was Doug Bouchon from orangeandbluenews.com. And we mentioned a few guys you might just be hearing coming up in the next segment. We will review players of the week. But before we do that, let me tell you a little bit more about Roman. So erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to roman.com/locked to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. Again, after the break, players of the week in the Big Ten only on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, let's wrap up the Monday edition of the Locked On Big Ten podcast by giving out our game ball. So for those who are not familiar, it's a sports tradition. After the game, coach usually hands out a game ball to a player or players who have made a big impact. And it's not always the guys who had the most stats, but sometimes it's the guys who just made the big plays, the unsung plays throughout the game. So we've got a 5-pack and a bonus coach game ball to give out this week. So here we go. So weekend game balls. First game ball I'm going to give to Peyton Ramsey, quarterback, Indiana. Yeehaw! Peyton had 193 yards in the air, one touchdown, but that's not the only reason I give Peyton a game ball. So again, he was previously a starter. He was put on the bench in favor of Michael Penix Jr. And when an injury took place, he stepped in and just orchestrated the team really well. And led them to a nice road win at Maryland. I know Maryland's been struggling a little bit of late, but it's still impressive to see a guy stick it out and you know, stay the course in the era of the transfer portal and all those other things. It's a pretty cool thing to see. So Peyton Ramsey gets my first game ball of the weekend. Yeehaw! Next up, KJ Hamlin, Penn State, 108 yards in the air, 2 touchdowns. This guy was just all over the field. He was electric. It was clear that he was the biggest playmaker there on Saturday night, and he made big plays. Sean Clifford did a nice job of finding him, but he also made a big play in special teams as well too. So KJ Hamlin, just the excitement he brought, and was instrumental in Penn State turning out a win on Saturday night in the whiteout game against Michigan. So KJ Hamlin, you get a game ball. Next up, David Bell from Purdue. So this one comes in a loss, unfortunately for David. But look, he did just about anything you could ask him to do. 197 yards receiving, and 1 touchdown. Again, Purdue had a chance late in that game. They threw the ball 50 times, and Bell certainly was the recipient of some of those throws. Purdue had a chance late. Could have potentially recovered an onside kick and made this thing a little bit interesting, but came up just a few seconds short. But David Bell played really well, and so unfortunately in a loss, David Bell will get a game ball here from the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Awesome. another guy in a loss, Javon Leak for Maryland. He had a bunch of rushing yards. He had two touchdowns. And look, again, comes in a loss, but his 158 yards on the ground. That was another close game. Maryland was driving late. A late pick by Tyrell Pigram sort of sealed the deal for Indiana. But Leak did just about everything you could expect. Two touchdowns again. Carried the ball 23 times and was a big part of the offense. Came up just short this weekend, but another big performance from Leak, and he will get a game ball as well. Yeehaw! Last and certainly not least from a player standpoint, we talked about him a little bit ago. Tony Adams had the big interception that gave Illinois the ball back and set up the drive that culminated in the game-winning 39-yard field goal from James McCourt. But if you watch the play, looks like Tony Allen drops back. He kind of baited Jack Cohn a little bit. So he took a few steps forward, dropped back, made a great break on the ball, made a great leaping interception catch. And again, that was the key play that got Illinois the ball back and allowed them to march down and set up for the game-winning field goal. So Tony Allen, you also get a game ball for a big INT that led to a big upset win. Winning! And then last, so coach. I don't know if I'll give a coach game ball. Maybe it's a whistle. I'm not sure what you give a coach. PJ Fleck. So I mentioned this earlier, and listen, I know there's some folks out there who, you know, PJ and his row the boat mentality, and you know, there's some people who are critical of him, and again, that's up to your personal taste on what you want in a coach and a person, but you can't deny the moment that took place between Coach Fleck this weekend and really kind of what he did. So again, we touched on it earlier in the game, but Casey O'Brien, he's a redshirt sophomore quarterback. He's battled cancer four different times, and unfortunately, you know, his college career was impacted by that, but Coach Fleck has kept him on the program, and he is he's a holder, and so he finally got in late in the fourth quarter to hold on an extra point, and obviously a very cool moment. You saw his teammates mob him after that, and he came to the sideline and he shared, you know, what seemed like a almost a minute long embrace with Coach Fleck. And look, if you watch that, or if you haven't seen it yet, you can probably quickly search for it, and if you watch that and you know, you don't get a little misty, you know what I mean? There's not like some onions being cut in the room with you or something. You know, I don't know what to tell you because that's such a cool moment. And so many, many kudos to PJ Fleck. Again, you know, perhaps you have an opinion of PJ one way or the other, but you can't deny the moment that he gave Casey O'Brien. And really this moment should all be about Casey and what he's persevered and sort of what he means to that program. You know, I think Coach Fleck called him sort of the heart and soul of the program. So super, super cool moment, and PJ Fleck for letting that happen, and Casey O'Brien for your perseverance. You guys both get game balls. And that wraps the Manic Monday post weekend of games in the Big Ten here, which is obviously found exclusively here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the show. You can find us on all your major podcast platforms. Feel free to rate and review as well. Let us know how we're doing. Give us some feedback. Find us on Twitter. It's Locked On Big Ten. You can also follow me on Twitter at Sports by Adam. And I'll be back on Tuesday to provide some more insight. We'll hear from the coaches. So coaches say interesting things, and you're going to want to hear about it. And then Talk Back Tuesday. So I want to hear from Big Ten fans out there and what's on your mind. So we'll do a Talk Back Tuesday segment as well, exclusively here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Until then, talk to y'all later. Have a good one.